Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. My name is Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And we're going to continue talking about striking pay dirt in the Klondike. This is about a mini-series on Discovery Channel. You could catch it. Check your local listings. And it's all based on a novel by Charlotte Gray about these two guys, Bill Haskell and Byron Epstein, who head out into the wilderness, and they want to strike it rich in the Klondike.
Yeah, do you know, it's kind of interesting because Discovery usually gives us reality series, which are not scripted. This is an actual fictional story based on a novel. And so we're going back in time, folks. We're going back in history to the 1890s. I like shows like that because you get to learn a little bit more about history this way.
Indeed. And, of course, they're heading out to Dawson City, which is up there in Canada, in Yukon there. So it's way past Toronto, way past Montreal, way out there in the boondocks of northwestern Canada. Kind of close to Alaska there, but if you look at a map, my goodness, it's in the middle of nowhere.
True.
And so they're taking their lives in their own hands there. They're taking all sorts of risks. And when they get to Dawson City, they run into all sorts of scum out there. Other miners and, you know, unscrupulous business people.
Con artists and hucksters.
And hucksters.
Scum. Yeah. So, bad people.
Exactly. So they have to watch themselves because everybody out there wants to make money, and they'll kill to get that money. They won't hesitate to put you 6 feet under if it means making a buck.
True. Let's read through our lesson, guys, and then we'll be back.
At the start of the first episode, Bill and Byron hop on a train from New York City and head west in search of gold. In Colorado, they meet an old man who is a wealthy gold miner. He advises them that the best place to prospect for gold is Yukon, Canada. Bill and Byron decide to follow his advice and change their course by heading north. They travel 4,650 miles on roads, railways, and boats before reaching Alaska. It is not until they reach Alaska that they understand how tough this journey will be. To reach the mining territories, they must climb a steep mountain in the dead of winter. 10 days into their climb, there is an avalanche. Although Bill and Byron survive, many other miners are killed and buried beneath the snow. As Bill and Byron continue, things go from bad to worse. While sailing down the rapids in a boat, Bill falls overboard. When he makes it to land, he's surrounded by a pack of hungry wolves. Luckily, a hunter shows up and saves his life before he is eaten. After Bill reunites with Byron, they continue traveling until they reach Dawson City. It's a prosperous city that's been nicknamed the Paris of the North. There, they can soak their bones in a warm bath, savor a decent meal, and enjoy some entertainment. However, they quickly realize that the city is filled with laborers, entrepreneurs, and con men that will do anything to make a buck. To see if Bill and Byron will strike it rich or end up finding nothing but fool's gold, tune into Klondike on Discovery.
Now, if you'll recall, this is a mini-series, which means it doesn't last all season. A lot of the shows that are scripted, dramas or comedies, have, I don't know, like 15 to 22 episodes per TV season. This one is a mini-series. It doesn't last too long. It has 6 episodes. At the start of the first episode, Bill and Byron, the two best friends, hop on a train from New York City and head west in search of gold. If you're in search of something, you're looking for something. You could also replace in search of with to look for. So they head west to look for gold. Or you could use a gerund here and say head west searching for gold. So they're looking for gold. Why? Because that's their ticket to becoming wealthy.
That's what everybody wants, to get rich quick. And they head on out west and eventually get to Colorado, which, of course, is a state in the United States famous for its mountains and its ski resorts and the city of Denver. Actually, my brother lives in Denver now. And they meet an old man who is wealthy. Well, actually, he's a wealthy gold miner. Remember, we said this before, a miner is a person who works in a mine. They go underground and they dig looking for minerals and stuff like that. There used to be lots of miners working out near Shifenliao here in Taiwan. I think those mines are all closed now.
Yeah.
But in this case, this person is rich because he used to mine for gold. I guess he got quite a bit of gold there. And he advises them that the best place to prospect for gold is Yukon, Canada. So I suppose there are all sorts of places out west there. Maybe he could go to that place you and your family used to go to in Arizona there. What was it? Something Hills?
No, the Lost Dutchman Mine.
Lost Dutchman Mine in Arizona there.
Yeah.
But this guy's got some experience. He's an old-timer. He's old and wise. So he says, hey, if you guys want to prospect for gold, I suggest you go up to Canada there, to the Yukon.
Cool. Well, if you're going to prospect, this is a verb, guys, not a noun. We usually see it used as a noun, but if you prospect for something, it means you're searching for minerals like gold or coal. Usually they prospect for these things by either using drills these days or they go deep into a mine and pound away, seeing if they can find some of these valuable minerals. Of course, we know they're looking for gold. A prospect as a noun, and it's the way we usually use this word, just means a person who is looked at as a potential customer or maybe a person who's going to be succeeding in the future at something. So they go to search for gold in a place called Yukon, Canada. And as Tom mentioned, it's way up in northern Canada. It's freezing cold up there.
Especially during the winter.
Yeah.
Actually, it's in northwest Canada. It borders Alaska. And yes, they follow his advice. Well, he's an old, a wealthy gold miner. He must know what he's doing.
Sure.
So let's follow his advice. Let's do what he says. And they changed their course. Perhaps they were heading out to California or to Arizona, but after they met this guy, they decided to change their course to go in a different direction, and they headed north. And, of course, the United States and Canada are huge countries, so they had to travel quite a long ways, 4,650 miles on roads. They were also taking trains. The place where a train goes is a railway. And also they needed to take boats before they reached Alaska. So I guess they took boats in the Pacific Ocean there, going up along the coast of British Columbia there, actually.
Oh,
and then they got to Alaska. I guess you have to pass through Alaska before you go on to the Yukon.
So it's not until they reach Alaska, it's to that point, it's not till they get there that they understand how tough or difficult this journey will be. To reach the mining territories, they have to climb a steep mountain in the dead of winter. This is something that most people don't want to do. But if you want to get rich, sometimes you have to do hard things. A territory, this is the plural form of the noun territory, just means an area of land. So it's a territory. Usually we describe it like that because there aren't a lot of people there sometimes, or it's a district where certain things are done. This is the mining territory, or different districts of land that's usually just used for mining purposes. Not a lot of people want to live there. It's not a good weather, and there aren't big cities. So in order to reach that territory they have to climb a steep mountain. If a mountain is steep, it means it goes from low to high very quickly. I hate hiking up a steep mountain because it hurts your legs. It's like climbing stairs to me if you have to hike up a steep mountain. So the slope rises really quickly. So it's a tough climb for them, and it says here they're doing it in the dead of winter. What the heck does that mean? In the dead of winter means right smack dab in the middle of winter when it's the coldest time of the season.
Right in the middle when it's the coldest. You could also say in the dead of the night when it's in the middle of the night and it's very quiet and stuff like that and when scary things might happen. But here, yeah, they have to do this right in the middle of the winter. And, of course, it's very cold and lots of snow there. It takes them a long time. 10 days into their climb, there is an avalanche. Oh, no. So they've been hiking for 10 days, 10 days into their climb. And an avalanche is when snow and rocks and other things start coming down a mountain. You can see avalanche videos on YouTube if you're interested. Sometimes people ski on those mountains, and then they get stuck in an avalanche. The snow comes tumbling down and buries them, and they have to be rescued, or they probably just die. But in this case, Bill and Byron survive. So although they survive, many other miners are killed and buried beneath the snow. Who knows? Their bodies might still be there buried in the snow on some mountain in Canada.
That's terrible. An avalanche is similar to a mudslide, except a mudslide is when the weather is warm and there's been a lot of rain. An avalanche is when the snow gets so heavy that it suddenly comes off the mountain. And if you're skiing or snowboarding or even in that area, it can kill you. If you're under the snow, you can't breathe.
You can't.
So you got to be careful.
And they did survive, and they continue, but unfortunately more bad things happen, so things go from bad to worse. We say this, you're already in a bad situation, but then even more bad things happen to you. So things have gone from bad to worse. I not only lost my job and I have no income, but now my wife wants a divorce. So things are going from bad to worse. And the bank repossessed my car. I got in a small accident, and now I have to go to the hospital. And now they're saying that I have to have kidney surgery. Oh, things are going from bad to worse. How could things be any worse for me?
Well,
these are all examples, of course.
Of course. Things are going to get a lot better now, though, because we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher. And Tom's going to just rest for a while.
Hi, 大家好，我是 Tommy。我们延续前一天的课程，继续介绍 Discovery 的迷你影集 Klondike 淘金年代。首先，第一段说明 Bill 和 Byron 听从一名有钱老矿工的建议，决定前往加拿大的育空地区淘金。我们看到第一段的第三和第四句 ，He advises them that the best place to prospect for gold is Yukon, Canada.Bill and Byron decide to follow his advice and change their course by heading north. 这名矿工建议他们探勘黄金的最佳之处在加拿大的育空地区。于是比尔和拜伦决定听从他的建议改向北方前进。在英文中，建议这个字的动词和名词拼法有所不同，字尾的发音也不一样。当动词时拼法为 advise， 念作 advise， 当名词时为 advice， 念作 advice。 当我们要表示建议某人去做某事时，要说 advise somebody to 原形动词，并没有suggest somebody to 原形动词这种用法。例如 ，During the police investigation, the suspect's attorney advised him to keep a low profile. 在警方调查期间，那名嫌犯的律师建议他保持低调。此外，接受或听从某人的意见，我们可以说 take 或 follow somebody's advice。例如Simon is as stubborn as a mule. He won't take anybody's advice. 赛门非常顽固，他不会接受别人的劝告。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Let us continue with our lesson, shall we? Okay, now we're talking about Bill and Byron, they're buddies from New York, and they've decided to head out to Yukon to try to mine for gold, but they're having a perilous journey here. They have to climb this mountain, they ran into an avalanche, and things are going from bad to worse. So now they're sailing down the rapids in a boat. I guess they're in a river somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And if you're in a river and there are rapids, that means the water is kind of rough. There are lots of rocks that the water has to go over, and it's very difficult, and you might fall over. You might run into a rock and bump your head and stuff like that. So, of course, we've got rapids there, and they're sailing down the rapids in a boat. And while this is happening, Bill falls overboard. If you fall overboard, that means you fall off of a ship, and you're in the ocean. They do say this sometimes. If somebody falls off a ship, they'll shout, "Man, overboard! We've got to stop and rescue that person." Overboard, again, means you're not on the ship anymore. You're in the water.
Hopefully you have a life jacket on or a life preserver. They say man overboard even if it's a girl or a lady who falls overboard. It's just a phrase that's been used for, oh gosh, hundreds of years. Man overboard. Well, when he makes it to land, which means when he arrives at the land or when he can get out of the water, he's at the shore perhaps, he arrives there or makes it to the land, he's surrounded by a pack of hungry wolves.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Wolves aren't afraid. If they're in a pack, they're in a big group. They're not afraid to attack people, especially if they think you're injured or you're hurt. They'll go for you. They'll try to bite you, and they'll kill you.
They're mean dogs.
If you're surrounded, it means they're on every side of you. They're all around you. So he's in a bad, bad situation. So I can see why they use this phrase, things go from bad to worse.
Right. We could say that Taiwan is surrounded by water, and here he's surrounded by hungry wolves. But fortunately, luckily, a hunter arrives. A hunter shows up. Hey, what's going on here? Why are these wolves surrounding you? So the hunter saves his life before he is eaten. I guess that hunter knows how to scare those wolves away. Maybe he's got a gun or something like that. And the wolves run away with their tails down between their legs.
Oh, okay.
And whimpering. Okay.
Well, good. Luckily, someone comes to save the day. If you save the day, you're the hero. A hunter shows up and saves the day. Thank goodness Bill is not eaten by those wolves. Yuck. Now, Bill reunites with Byron. If you reunite with someone, it means you were together originally, then you got separated, and then you got back together. So a family reunion, is when members of a family will get together for a dinner or special occasion. My family members all live in different homes now, right?
Yeah.
As some of us live in different countries. So when we have a family reunion, we all get together and we're in the same place. So he reunites with his friend Byron and they continue traveling until they reach Dawson City. So they continue going on until they reach their destination, which is Dawson City.
And I'm not sure if Dawson City still exists. Maybe it's just a ghost town now. I don't know if anybody lives there. I couldn't find it on the current map of Yukon. I could just find Whitehorse or something like that. But in any case, Dawson City at the time was a prosperous city. And we're talking from the perspective from the 1890s. So it is a prosperous city if we're in 1890. Prosperous means lots of economic activity is going on there. It's successful. People are making money. They're finding gold, and they're spending money in the taverns and in the stores and stuff like that. So it's been nicknamed the Paris of the North. I'm not exactly sure why they're calling it that, if it has the Seine River there or the Eiffel Tower or the Louvre Museum or something like that. But I guess Paris is a very prosperous city, or at least it was at the time. So this is also a very prosperous city, just like Paris.
Cool. Well, back in the 1890s, Paris was the city.
And not London, huh?
No. It was Paris. People would go to Paris. Wow. So people are making lots of money. They're happy. Of course, there's still con artists and hucksters there. They have to be on the lookout for. You know, I was going to ask you, Tom.
Yeah.
Do you ever use that term huckster?
No, I don't.
No, I don't use it either.
It's not common, but I would say shysters.
Shyster I use. Yeah, shyster.
Somebody who tries to cheat people, although they try to look legitimate, but
yeah.
They're actually a wolf in sheep's clothing.
We use con artists a lot. Usually con artists also are slick looking, which means they dress up, they look like they're trustworthy, and like they, you can really believe what they have to say. So be careful of those people who look really trustworthy and responsible. So it's a prosperous place, and in Dawson City, they can soak their bones in a warm bath. We use that phrase, soak your bones, to describe someone who's been working a lot, they're tired, and they get into this hot tub, and it just feels wonderful. Of course, if you're in Taiwan, you can soak your bones in a hot spring, which is really great. But they soak their bones in a warm bath. They savor or really enjoy a decent meal. If a decent meal, decent just means pretty good, pretty darn good, probably not the best meal you'll ever have, but it's good. If you say, I earn a decent salary, it means, you know, you're not the earning the most money in the world, but you earn a pretty good living.
And they could also enjoy some entertainment. Maybe there were some live shows there, dancing girls, musicians and stuff like that that they could check out. I think at the time there were no such things as movies. It had to be live entertainment. However, they quickly realized that the city is filled with laborers, entrepreneurs, and con men that will do anything to make a buck. So here we've got laborers. Yeah, those are people who work for a living, but who wants to work for a living? You know, we all want to make money and retire and live in Florida. And an entrepreneur, of course, is somebody who's trying to make money in business. They're starting businesses. They have some great ideas, and they think that they're going to become rich. But, of course, they need to invest a lot of money and take some risks there before they are successful. And they don't really know if they're going to be successful. We have talked about con men before. We won't deal with that too much here. And if you want to make a buck, that just means you want to make money, especially if it's the only thing you want to do. You just want the money. You don't care about the people who are spending the money.
I wanted to mention laborers really refers to people who are blue-collar workers. Laborers would be people who work outside, construction, road workers, plumbers, people who don't wear a suit to work or a shirt and tie would be laborers. If you do work in an office, we call you white-collar workers because those shirts often that we wear with ties have collars, right?
And they don't need to get dirty.
No, but blue-collar workers get awfully dirty. They work doing the work that requires muscles a lot of times. Instead of just your brain, it requires muscles and technique. Entrepreneurs are popular, especially nowadays when people have a great idea and they want to launch their own business. Maybe they are good with computers, or here we have a lot of people who just want to have their own businesses. Taiwan is very, very popular. It's a popular place for entrepreneurs to come and open up their own shops because they want to be their own boss.
Everybody wants to be their own boss and make a buck, get rich overnight. And to see if Bill and Byron will strike it rich or end up finding nothing but fool's gold, tune into Klondike on Discovery. Fool's gold is actually some kind of mineral. I think it's usually pyrite. It's kind of a yellow metal. A lot of people think it's gold, but it's not. It's pretty much worthless. But here they're saying fool's gold just to refer to the fact that they may not be successful. They may be broke, and they may have to go back to New York to the Lower East Side and look for a job in a factory or something like that when all is said and done.
You know, when we'd go to the Lost Dutchman's Mine in Arizona, we'd often find fool's gold, and my dad could tell the difference between gold and pyrite. So he'd go, oh, kids, it's not real. It's just fool's gold. But hopefully we see our two best friends strike it rich or hit pay dirt or strike pay dirt. You can use all of those phrases. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
接下来，文章第二段说到 ，Bill 和 Byron 来到了阿拉斯加，遇到了许多危险，像是雪崩 （avalanche）。Byron 甚至差一点就被狼群吃掉。我们看到本段的倒数第二句 ：When he makes it to land, he's surrounded by a pack of hungry wolves。比尔成功爬上陆地后，却被一群饥饿的野狼重重包围。英文表达一群时，常因为搭配不同的动物而有所变化。例如，兽群用 pack, P-A-C-K, 像是 A pack of wolves, 一群野狼。鸟群用 flock, F-L-O-C-K, 像是 a flock of geese, 一群鹅。鱼群用 school, S-C-H-O-O-L, 像是 a school of whales, 一群金鱼。昆虫群用 swarm, S-W-A-R-M, 像是 a swarm of bees, 一群蜜蜂。文章的最后一段说到 Bill 和 Byron 终于来到他们的目的地道森市，他们在这个城市享受了一段美好的时光，但随后也发现这个城市充满为了赚钱而不择手段的人。我们看到本段的倒数第二句， However, they quickly realized that the city is filled with laborers, entrepreneurs, and con men that will do anything to make a buck. 但是他们很快就会了解到这座城市充满劳工、企业家和骗子，而这些人为了赚钱不择手段。 Do anything to 原形动词是指为了什么什么而什么事都做得出来，例如 A mother will do anything to protect her child， 母亲为了保护小孩什么事都做得出来。而我们常听到的 Do nothing but 原形动词是指什么事都没做，就只有做什么什么。例如 Even though the entrance exam is coming, he does nothing but fool around every day. 即使入学考试即将到来，他什么事都没做，就只是在鬼混。
That is it for today's program. Thank you so much for joining us. And hey, check out this program and watch it. You may pick up a few words and phrases that you didn't know before. Your English may improve by leaps and bounds. You may strike pay dirt. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.